when we look at this gospel, there's one thing we can see for sure, is that the Word of God is attractive. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh, come down to earth to proclaim the good news of salvation. And that word that he was proclaiming was so attractive that crowds were gathering from miles around, from all around the region of Galilee and even the region of what we today call Israel, to hear what he had to say. And there were so many people coming that when he was there by the sea, he had to put out a little ways so that his voice could carry over the water. Of course, we all realize if we've been out on a boat, how well voices carry over water versus over land. So our Lord put out far enough so that they could all gather on the seashore and could hear what he had to say. The Word of God is so attractive that when we look throughout the history of the church, we see mass conversions by those who are hearing the proclamation of the gospel for the first time. Now, these mass conversions are not by force. They're not by gunpoint. They're not by sword, by the tip of a sword. But they're by people's hearts being changed when they hear this word. Large groups of people hearing the word of God and changing their lives, being converted to Christ by what they hear. Of course, this is good because mass conversion by force doesn't last. It lasts only as long as the force is present. As soon as the gunpoint is turned another direction, they go back to where they were before. But these conversions are all through change of heart, through conversion in their lives that come from hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God can still have that power today. It can still stir a desire within us for conversion. And that's why the Word of God was sent to us. As we hear, for creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. All of creation was waiting for that moment when our Lord Jesus came down to earth and proclaimed that good news. And our hearts are still yearning for that good news. The Word of God is attractive because it's fruitful. It produces a great fruit. Now look at Isaiah's parable in the first reading of the rain and the snow coming down. You know, those who have planted farms, or those who have planted gardens, you know that you need lots of moisture for the crops, for your garden to do well. And there's that image of the rain and the snow coming down upon the ground, coming down upon the soil, watering the soil and nourishing the plants with the water that it needs. Well, Isaiah tells us that's the Word of God in our lives. He tells us, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. So what is this end? What is this end that God sent the Word, His Son, into the world? Well, we hear creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. The Word of God was sent into the world, was revealed to us through the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, so that we might enter into salvation and might bring that word to those around us and bring them as well into salvation. And we hear when the Word of God is allowed to take root and to grow, that is, our Jesus says in the gospel, it produces fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. So when we hear this, we should be asking ourselves, if the Word of God is so fruitful, are we open to the Word of God implanting in our lives? When we look through the scriptures, we see that there were many in Jesus' time who were not open to what he had to say. Here he is, the Word of God, the truth proclaimed by God, here in flesh, walking among them, and they weren't open to him. So we shouldn't be surprised that there are many in our world today who are not open to his word, who maybe have heard his word, but were not open. And the fact is, there are many who have heard the gospel, but they're not listening to it. They're like, as Isaiah puts it, They look, but they do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Now, it's easy when we look at this parable. It might be tempting when we look at this parable to look at those we know in our community who perhaps have fallen away from the church or don't go to any church at all. They've always been unchurched. And to say, well, I know this person is like the rocky path. I know this person is like the rocky soil. I know this person is like the roots or the plant that got choked. But we need to realize, first of all, we can't judge that. Secondly, we need to realize that there are many who come to church and have been Catholics their whole lives. They were baptized Catholics. They heard the gospel message through their religious education, through their growing up in the faith. Maybe even come to Mass every week, who fit one of these categories, that they might be the rocky path, they might be the rocky soil, they might be the plants choked by the weeds. So we need to realize that even those of us who are here today may have heard the gospel over our lifetimes, but it has never taken root. We may have never given it a chance in our lives to take root, and that our hearts may even be hardened against God, even if we are in the habit of coming to Mass every week. There may also be those who are here today who have responded in the past, but it's a shallow response. It doesn't really have any kind of depth to it. It doesn't really take root and grow, but instead it withers. Anytime there's a difficulty, anytime there's a challenge, especially when there's issues of scandal within the church, that people who are on this, where it doesn't really take root very well, it's very shallow, their faith remains shallow, that when there's a scandal, those are the ones who are most likely to fall away when we hear of something like that happening. Others, you know, there may be those in our families who at one point were very excited about the faith, very interested in the faith. Maybe as a child, someone was active and interested in wanting to learn and wanting to grow, and maybe even considering a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. But then at some point, as they grew up and entered into adulthood, that got choked out. As they entered into school and career and family and things and the cares of the world and the desires of the world, and that choked out the faith in their life. And they went from being active, involved Catholics to not really having much faith at all, if any at all. They've just faded away and allowed the things of the world to choke out their faith. Well, for us who want to be disciples, we should desire that we're not one of those three. We should seek in our lives that we're not the path, we're not the rocky soil, we're not the plant choked out by the weeds, but that we are the rich soil that is open to the Word of God, accepting the Word of God, allowing the attractive, fruitful Word of God to take root in our lives and to change us and to bear fruit within us. If that describes us, if that's what we want, I'd argue there are three steps that we need to do. First of all, we need to truly seek understanding and live the Word of God. Now, what does this mean? You know, I'm not just talking about the Word of God as the Scriptures. Scriptures are the Word of God. But so is the tradition of the church. And I think there's a lot of Catholics who, they want to focus on the Scriptures. They want to do Bible studies, which is good. But they neglect the other half, the traditions of the church. We need to grow in understanding and living both of those, both Scripture and tradition. They are equally the Word of God. Secondly, we need to allow God's Word to be more important in our lives than anything in the world. God should come first in our lives over anything else. And living His Word should be more important to us than anything else that we do. And then third of all, we'll persevere in following the Word of God despite the difficulties and challenges that come with living the Word of God. And our Lord promises us that there are going to be challenges. There are going to be difficulties. There may even be persecution if we live the Word of God. But our Lord promises us that if we do overcome those difficulties, if we do not allow those challenges to prevent us from living the Word of God, we will bear fruit. We will bear great fruit. We will bear 100 or 60 or 30-fold. So may we allow God's Word to take root in our lives by doing those three things and have that harvest of grace and have that harvest of souls 30 and 60 or 100-fold.